You're listening to the EndPod Debate Edition.
Thank you for the introduction, Lexi, and hello and welcome to the EndPod Debate about Young Ankeepers Volume 2. Yes, we've actually done this before. That was back in episode 7. And if you want to hear that, well, you can find it on the End Hall of the channel, not the extra channel, and of course, on your audio listening app. Before we start, I do want to say that while you are on the audio listening app, you can of course find this episode, because if you're not interested in seeing the YouTube video, you can hear it on the audio apps. Today we are talking about Young Ankeepers, and we have three Young Ankeepers with us. The first guy is called Oscar, and just to ask Oscar, hello, how are you, and how old are you?
Hello, I am 13.
13 years old.
Yes.
And when did you start ankeeping then?
I started 4 years ago, but I was interested in it like about 5 years ago. Of course, Ants Canada.
Wow, that is very young. Just of course, this is something we're going to talk about later on with what do your parents think of all of that. But how old were you then, roughly, when you started watching Ants Canada?
7. Yeah, 7.
Wow. That is that's impressively early. Next to Oscar, we have Lich. Hello, Lich. How are you doing, and how old are you?
Oh, hi. I'm doing good, thanks. I am 14 years old, and I started ankeeping roughly 4 years ago when I was about 9, maybe 10 years old.
Damn. You're starting really early, I must say, but of course that is why we have you guys here. And of course, if you are listening in the audience, you can find all of these guys in the end. We'll talk about social media, but this episode is mainly targeted towards young ankeepers who may have questions to their parents, who may not know how to start ankeeping. All of these beginner questions show towards young ankeepers. Lastly, we have Cameron. And hello, how old are you, and when did you start ankeeping?
Hello, EndPod. I am 13 years old, and I've been keeping ants for about 5 years now, roughly.
So just a pop-in question that you can all answer. Do you guys know each other outside ankeeping, or is it just... do you guys know each other at all?
I'd say purely through the Discord and ankeeping. Probably, yeah.
Have you ever met in real life, then?
I've not met anyone because I didn't go to AnCon last year, but I'm pretty sure Lidge did. I'm not sure about Insider.
I didn't go to AnCon, but I'm going 2023.
So am I, and I think Oscar is as well. So yep. We haven't met each other yet, but we will likely meet each other at AnCon.
All right, well, I'll also be at AnCon together with Jake, who's listening in the audience. So yeah, it will be interesting for all of us to hopefully meet at AnCon this year. So I personally started back in 2018, where I was around roughly 17 years old, and I found ankeeping around 2014. That's when I also saw Ants Canada and all of that. But of course, we have also asked the viewers of when they started, and 7%, that must be all four of you then, have answered that they started between the age of 6 to 10, 55% between the age of 11 to 15, 12%, 12% 16 to 20, 22% 21 to 30 years old, and lastly 5% started when they were 31 or above. So that's actually quite an interesting poll. It definitely seems like from my audience, the people who have seen the questions, all are around this very young ankeepers. So hopefully we have some good listeners listening today. So to kick off this podcast, I want to ask you all, what does your classmate think of you keeping ants, starting with you, Cameron?
I mean, it's never really been a big issue for me. I mean, people know I keep ants, and I've occasionally done the odd talk about ants, but it's not been much. No one really says, oh, he keeps ants, and it's like that. But yeah, I'm just known as Ant Boy. That's basically it.
Well, I'm 22 years old, and I'm known as the same. Just in Danish. Oh, lovely. What about you, Oscar? What do your classmates think of you keeping ants?
Well, so for me, since even in my opinion, I think it's pretty weird, I don't tell everyone. Maybe 10 or so people know. They just really ignore it and move past it. And one or two of them are interested in it and ask questions from time to time. But really, it's nothing much. And like, if you're young and you're worried about classmates, don't be, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's also where it's great that you have each other online, because I don't know, I personally don't have too many guys to talk with about Ankeeping, but we have the whole online community, like sitting and doing a podcast. Is there a special reason why you don't go around sharing that you're an Ankeeper?
Well, at first, with my friends, they would take the mickey out of me about it quite often. So I just thought it's better off not to go around telling people about it, because I'd rather not have the mickey taken out of me from time to time.
Yeah, I guess that is understandable. That's also why I personally keep it. I don't keep it on the quiet side, but I don't just go around saying it to everyone. Finally, Lich, what do your friends think of you being an Ankeeper?
Well, I'm completely different from Anty. Almost everybody in my school year knows that I keep ants, thanks to a teacher who, for some reason, announced it at an assembly. But yeah, it started off with a lot of people thinking it's weird, a lot of people taking the mick out of me, but I just genuinely ignored it because I'm interested in my own thing, and I just kind of kept it to myself. But as time has gone on, people have kind of matured. I mean, there's some people who will make a joke about it every now and again, or kind of like a remark, like, oh, shut up, ant boy, or whatever. But overall, it's gotten much better. I think a lot of people either don't care or just respect it. But there are a couple people who kind of are interested in it. They'll ask from time to time, oh, how your aunt's doing. So overall, they don't really care when we keep ants.
Yeah. So just a question for all of you. Do you then have any recommendations to young ankeepers who may be a little bit scared to tell it to their friends and maybe just keep it quiet? Do you have any advice towards them, starting with you, Cameron?
I mean, really just be yourself. It's not that I see and most people see something to be ashamed of. It's just, they're ants. It's not something that people should feel like you should feel like you need to keep to yourself.
Yeah, I agree. It is a lot like fish. That's the good thing to always compare it with, because fish is a little bit the same. You clean them, you feed them, you watch them. You don't really go in and pet them, like many people all often say to me when I say I'm an ankeeper. And I think, unless you guys have anything to add, I think it's just very important that it's a hobby, and it's for now not the biggest hobby in the world. But 10, 15 years ago, if you said you had spiders, people would be quite weird. But now they are a little bit more scared because they've seen videos online of people actually keeping spiders. And maybe people are a little bit more, okay, I respect you, you have spiders, I don't want to be in your home. Compared to 10, 15 years ago, where people may have just have joked around. I feel like ankeeping isn't this stage of going from small to big. But at the moment, I think the hobby is generally still in the small department. Do you guys have anything to add to what you would say to people who are afraid of saying it?
Well, I mean, I completely agree with Insight. It's just kind of your own thing. But yeah, I mean, other people have their own hobbies. So, I mean, you don't have to tell people if you are in fear of people making a mockery out of you. But I mean, if you just don't bring it up that often, I mean, you can obviously tell your friends and just be like, oh, I keep ants. But as long as you know they're going to be respectful and you don't go on and on about it, I think it's kind of a good thing to share your interests with other people.
I definitely agree with that. I have gotten nothing but positive response from people. Jokey, but positive response. And I think those people who make fun of them, just gotta make sure. Yeah, you just gotta realize that it's just jokes. They don't necessarily know what they're talking about. And we have a great community with a lot of people you can talk with instead of talking with those who don't respect your ankeeping. A problem I often see, especially when I'm doing TikToks, is young people saying they're not allowed to keep ants due to their parents. But you're all three ant keepers, so you have done something right and gotten past the whole parents thing. And you all three also started very young. How were you allowed to keep ant, starting with you, Lich?
Well, in my case, it didn't really take a lot to start ant keeping, as I was already that kind of kid who'd always be outside, always be looking at wildlife and stuff like that. So after I'd seen some videos on ant keeping and thought it was quite interesting, I just kind of told my parents, and they thought of it as a harmless little hobby for me to get into at a young age. So yeah, they just let me borrow some test tubes. I went out and caught some queens on a nuptial flight, and it just kind of started from there. I gave them like little updates. Sometimes they asked for little updates. So yeah, they didn't really question it. They just kind of allowed it straight away.
And there were never any real questions about them escaping and living in your house?
Well, there was obviously things like, oh, how are you going to feed them? What if they escape? What are you going to keep them in? But after I'd like told them, oh, I can make specialized setups, I can buy them online, feeding's not that big of an issue, and there's ways to prevent them from escaping, they hopped on board pretty quickly.
Lovely. And what about you, Cameron?
I mean, I would say my parents were quite similar to Lidge. They were quite supportive, didn't work against it. I mean, they wanted to keep me busy, really. So yeah, so they just went along with it, and I think it's a great hobby for you to have as a young person. But one thing I would like to add is keeping ants as a young person is different than keeping ants as an adult, because we generally make more mistakes. So us keeping ants for 4 or 5 years, maybe similar to an adult keeping ants for 2 or 3 years, just because we may not learn as quickly, or we may learn different things. It may, when we say 4 or 5 years, it means that's how long we caught a latest Niger queen, put her in a setup, that's it. Not necessarily had a firm setting for a hobby there.
I think that's very well said. I think it's also very different from person to person how they deal with patience with ants, because you gotta have patience when you're keeping ants. And I know when I was young, I certainly did not have the patience, so good thing I didn't start back then. I don't think it would have ended well. Oscar, what did your parents say to you, keeping ants?
Since they knew I was fairly interested in the whole ant keeping thing, because I'd often talked to them about it before I actually got into it, one day I just decided to tell them that I want a Lassius Niger colony, and they kind of just agreed with it because they didn't see any harm in it. They didn't expect it to eventually be half my life keeping ants, but like it is now. But yeah, they didn't really see any bother in it. They thought they'd just live in a test tube forever. And I told them there's no way for them to escape. They're like, okay, sure. Just do what you want, really.
Guys, you're breaking the rules. You're not doing the response you're supposed to say. I have so many people saying, we're not allowed to keep ants. My mom says no, my dad says no. Lich, you've said a little bit of what you think, or what you said to your parents. But to the people who are not allowed to keep ants, Cameron, what should they say to their parents?
I mean, just say, look, they can stay in this setup. They won't escape. Feeding's relatively easy, and it's quite an easy hobby in the beginning. I mean, it only really gets difficult when you have many, many colonies and many big colonies. But in the beginning, it's a good thing to have, and it's a great hobby for a young person to have, and it just keeps you busy in the end.
All right. Oscar, do you have anything to add?
It does just keep you busy as a thing. So if your parents disagree, then just tell them. It's a way to get you off being sat on video games all day and just get you outside looking at ants and being interested in something else.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. And of course, my recommendations are similar to what you said, Oscar, because it is a way of getting off video games. It is a way of interacting a lot more with nature, especially in summer. I can see that a lot of people love going out looking for queens, whereas you don't really have a purpose to go outside if you don't keep ants, because the ant-keeping part really makes you want to go out and look for queens, even though you don't necessarily need the queens. And again, for all parents listening, if there's anyone out listening, I think it's also very important to say that if you buy the right products reviewed by YouTubers and other people online, they are escape-proof. The ants will not escape unless you directly use the products wrong. You can also use DIY, but that is definitely another risk. And if you have the budget to just buy proper setups from the beginning, I would, as an adult, personally recommend that, because I've personally failed DIY projects in the past. But of course, if you are skilled, or if your family is skilled with working with their hands building stuff, you can also do very successful DIY products. But the big question is, of course, we have the two things. We have the balance between school and ant-keeping. But before we go into that, I want to ask you, how long do you reckon you all spend on ant-keeping on a daily basis and on a weekly basis, starting with you, Cameron?
I mean, I try to keep some form of set schedule, but I mean, as it's winter now and diapause and hibernation, I try to keep it to about an hour a day, but I mean, it really depends on what I have to do that day. I mean, on some days it might just be moving a colony, which will take more time because they're larger, and it just takes more time. And then photographing the ants doesn't take as long, but I would say on a weekly basis, probably 7 hours, 7 days a week. I think, but I'd say most of my time is just spent looking at them.
And I think it's important, before we know the time, how many ant colonies do you keep to mix up with the time?
My ant colonies are European, so most of them are in some form of hibernation or diapause. But I have around 40 different colonies.
Whoa. And you only spend 7 hours a week?
It's hibernation and diapause. It's not that bad.
Oh, okay. That's very impressive. How long would you say you spend in the summer then? When you have to feed all of the colonies, how long would you think that takes?
2.5 hours a day. No less. No more than 2.5 hours.
So. All right, that sounds a bit more right. All right. Lich, what about you? How much time would you reckon you spend on a daily and on a weekly basis on your ants?
Well, I mean, I don't nearly have as many colonies as Insight. And I don't have too many big colonies either. So I'd say only about, I don't know, half an hour a day, maybe. Because, I mean, all of my colonies are exotics, besides one or two who do hibernate / diapause. But other than that, it's just a case of feeding, maybe giving them some water. And every now and again, it will take a bit longer, like, say, if I need to clean out my leaf cutters, garbage, or I need to move an ant into a different setup. And sometimes I just like taking photographs of my ants because it's always nice to have pictures. But yeah, overall in a week, I'd say maybe 1 to 2 hours.
All right. That's definitely not too bad, within the very manageable time, I'd say. So, of course, I forgot to say in the beginning that Ant Insight is, by the way, Cameron. So Cameron is Ant Insight. Lich is, hey, it's Lich. And lastly, Oscar is Antsy. And ending on you, Oscar, how much time do you reckon you spend on ant keeping on a daily and weekly basis?
Well, so daily, not too much, really, since I've not got the most colonies. And Well, daily, I would just often sit down for a good while and stare at the ants, especially with my atta, because they're amazing. and on a weekly, I might spend 3 or 4 hours. Only 1 hour of cleaning and feeding. The rest just watching and taking photos. So it's really not too bad. It doesn't take up much time.
I'm very impressed at two of you. Are you all three keeping leaf cutters? Are you also Cameron?
No, I'm not going down that route just yet. With school and moving and just general, I don't want to have a big colony or something that's not manageable at a younger stage, just because I don't feel like I could provide for them properly.
That may be a very wise decision, but I've also I'm very impressed that all two of you have leafcutter colonies. It's really impressive how the ant keeping have changed over the last few years, because only 2 or 3 years ago leafcutters were just hardcore, no one kept them, and now it's just a very normal thanks to other products. By the way, if you want to hear a full leafcutter episode, we have also done a leafcutter episode quite recently. I think it was episode 29. But I'm quite surprised of your answers, guys, because the next question is how do you balance your time between school, friends, and ants? But it seems like you don't really spend that much time on ants in general. Lich, do you take your friends home to look at the ants, or do you go out? Do you have is it kept separately, or how do you manage it all?
Well, I like to do most of my ant stuff either on the weekend or after school. Then going out with friends and actually kind of doing stuff with my aunts don't really kind of get in the way of each other. I mean, occasionally my friends will be like, meet us here by this time, and I'll be a bit late because I've had to feed a colony or just do some cleaning. But they don't really get in the way of each other that much. And obviously, anytime I have friends or anyone over, really, they always like to come have a look, because they just find it so fascinating. And my friends, they kind of respect it, and some of them are interested in it, so they do like to come have a look. But yeah, the time's quite balanced, I'd say.
Right. And what about you, Oscar? Do your aunts come home and visit? Do your friends come home and and see your aunts? Do you keep it separate? And is it hard for you to keep it separate?
Sometimes I'll have my friends over. Say, every few weeks or so, they'll come over, and my aunts are in my bedroom, of course. So they'll see them, but they just ignore it, really. And to balance out my ant keeping and going out with friends and things, I usually, with my friends, we've got set days when we go out, Friday and Wednesday usually, and not too late, maybe until 7 or 8 o'clock. So I usually do my ant keeping business after those times on Friday, so it never really clashes. And of course, school is during the day, so it doesn't get in the way.
Right. I think that's one system of just keeping it all separate, with separate days. I feel like if you have the rhythm, that's definitely a good idea. Lastly, Cameron, how do you manage your friends between ants? Do you keep them all separate, or how does it work?
For me, friends are generally just mostly at school, and ants are just basically after school, so they don't really disrupt each other too much. I am trying to convince one of my friends to keep ants, but it's not going too well. Generally I try and keep them separate, but if, for say, some friends do come over, they'll be quite interested, I'll show them off, and my parents also like to brag about it a bit as well.
Just while we are here, you said you had 40 species. How much does that fill? Are they all in your room, or... where are they?
I think every now and again I have the odd colony downstairs just to look at the dinner table or something like that. But yeah, most of them are up in my room.
And how big are they compared to I mean, I just have my setups are at least very big, and if you have 40 colonies, it must take up a lot of room.
Well, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a big ant fan person, so I don't. I'm not a big fan of big ants. So I'm mostly small ants. So they're in medium-sized setups. So they take up quite a lot of my room, but they don't. They don't take up too much space, so it's not. It's manageable.
That is very impressive, I must say. So, another question I often get, or at least parents are quite scared of feeder insects, like cockroaches, because dubia roaches, roaches in general. I recently found out it may be a different thing. Yeah, I'd never really know whether I should trust what TikTok people say or not. But roaches and other feeder insects can often sound very scary, because if the roaches escape, you may as well burn the house down. At least that's what parents often think. And I want to ask you, Lech, what feeder insects do you use? And is it due to your parents, or why have you chosen this specific feeder insect?
Well, my feeder insects happen to be Red Runners, just because you can buy them for quite a cheap price. They breed and grow quite quickly, so which is an upside, and they're just a good source of protein, not only for my ants, but I also have a bearded dragon, and he loves a good Red Runner as well. But I used to just get like a tub of mealworms or a box of crickets from Pets at Home, which was costing quite a lot of money, and I'd have to go every few days. But my parents were a bit reluctant at first, obviously, because with my roach farm setup, it's an open tub, and I think my parents were a bit scared of that. But obviously, the Red Runners, they can't actually climb up the acrylic, and I haven't had any escapes since I got them, which was a month ago, I'm pretty sure. But after some persuading, the fact that I wouldn't have to keep going to the shop and spending money, they did catch on board. And at this point, I just have a nice, successful farm. My dad is still a bit scared of the roaches getting out, and he's not a big fan of the smell either. But overall, they're quite chill and quite happy with the fact that I'm kind of growing my own insects instead of having to buy them.
All right. I mean, I can definitely relate to the scared of them escaping. When I got them the first day, I just kept an eye on them. I also have the open lid method. Never had any escapees, but I'm very scared that they will. Cameron, what feeder insects do you use, and what did your parents say?
So I've used a wide variety of feeder insects. I would say currently I'm mostly keeping Red Runners, same as Elijah, just because they breed quite fast and they're pretty easy to keep out of all of them, I would say. And also protein-wise, they were pretty easy to keep. But my parents, once I went from dubias to Red Runners, they maybe were a bit more pleased, just because dubias are a bit larger and maybe a bit more scary for some people. But yeah, I think I've got them in a pretty secure setup. I say pretty. I have had the odd one around, but they don't need to know about that. And yeah, I don't think they're that afraid. They won't want to handle them or anything, but yeah, I think they're okay with it.
All right. Having escapees, yeah. Definitely don't say that onwards. I think it's just good to keep it to yourself. And the fall of the parents.
Out.
No, of course. Of course this is something kids would never lie to their parents. Oscar, lastly, you, what feeder insects do you use and why?
So I'm the odd one out here because I use mealworms, and I'm kind of stuck with them since my parents aren't the biggest fans of roaches, even though I try my best to persuade them. I have to use mealworms according to them, but mealworms aren't that bad, really. They do the job. And they, of course, it's like impossible for them to escape. So it's pretty all right. But I really do want roaches. and Red Runners, of course, but I just can't do it because my parents don't like the idea of them at all.
Yeah, and I think that is with good reason. I think it's important to say what I would recommend as an adult is definitely to go. I mean, you can do very safe roach setups, but until you have the need to actually get a larger quantity of food, I think it's very easy to just go with mealworms. I wouldn't try crickets and other weird grasshopper things just because they have a special care and a high death rate if you don't know what you're doing. Mealworms are nice and cheap, the same with Mario worms, superworms. And I personally use roaches, and roaches, they are most likely the best feeder if you have a big colony. And I think that's where you can take the step up. But if you're young and you only have a small colony, you may as well just go with mealworms because they're easier to keep. And as far as for the ants, they may be a little bit different from one or another. But in the small side of ant keeping, I don't personally think it matters too much.
Hi, it's Succeed from Pour More Art. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ant Pod, and please visit my ant and spider shop at www.pourmoreart.ca. We're a Canadian business shipping ant and spider keeping supplies worldwide, specializing in test tube accessories and a variety of hybrid formicaria, glass outworlds, and enclosures. Enjoy the show.
Now, the big thing that you often hear people like Ants Hood say, if you don't have, you don't, kids don't get Selenopsis because you don't have the budget for a nest. The same with our latest Care Bearer Diversa Care Guide. We also ended up saying it wasn't kid-friendly due to the budget you need for the nest because they grow fast. So with that, I have the question. How important is your budget for what species and setups to get, starting with you, Cameron?
I mean, obviously it's been spread over a while, so I would say most of it has either been birthday money or Christmas money or something, or like parents ask you what you want for Christmas or say, oh, I'd like this ant species, please. It's mostly been stuff like that. My parents are fine. I've got a lot of colonies, but I've not got colonies that require too much. So nest-wise, they're okay. It's not that expensive, and obviously with feeders, they're self-sustaining.
All right. And what kind of nest would you overall say you use, DIY or bought products?
Recently I've been moving to more bought products just because the general escaping and they're generally easier to feed. I think I would say 1.5 years ago, I was almost all DIYs, mostly white-tong nests.
All right. And a last question extra for you. Do your parents set any limitations on what species not to get at all? Or is it a... How do you tell them what species to get and not get?
My parents don't really know what species I have. I think it's more me not wanting to have ants that I know I couldn't care for to my best ability. So, for example, Solenopsis or maybe Care Bearer or something that would require lots of food, lots of maintenance, and that I couldn't keep on top of because of exams and various other schoolwork and friends. And I just try to keep things to a degree that's manageable.
Right. I think that is very cleverly said. So back to the first question, how important is your budget for the species and setups to get? Oscar, how important is that?
Well, I rely on pocket money, Christmas money and birthday money and things. And my parents will chip in from time to time if I need. I do have to be smart with what species I get, even though I'm not, and what setups I use, since costs and things. Like with my Nikos at the moment, I'm using a plastic tub for the outworld since it's cheap and it does the job either way. But with species, I just try to stick to ones that won't outgrow me. I say that, but yeah.
Well, I think you made a little good intro before we started recording, talking about the Nikos. They were apparently having a little bit of an escape issue. Can you share the story?
For a while I've just had Nikos roaming my bedroom pretty much. Every now and then I'll find a Niko on my wall or a Niko on my desk or something like that. But I'm not sure how they escaped originally, but I don't know if they're still escaping or they've stopped and it's just a big group of them out. But I don't think it's too much of a problem.
So my next question is then, do your parents know this is happening?
Well, the other day, my dad came in and he spotted about 10 Nikos running up the wall. And he wasn't very happy with that, but I just have to convince them it's not a problem.
You guys have such relaxed parents from the outside, at least. I would not have been allowed to keep ants under if the circumstances you've said. My dad, he was a very, very no-saying man to these kind of things. But lastly, oh, wait, hang on. Also, do your parents ever set any limits for what species to get, or is it purely what you decide?
So they say to me not to get too many ants because I've explained to them that if I do, I might get overrun by them. But they're not too bothered about what species I get, so long as they don't sting. But I do plan to get some stingy ants, either way. They don't have to know. But usually it's just up to me what ants I get. Yeah.
You are all very honest with your parents, I must say. Big respect to that. Just the honesty between parents and... yeah, child is very important, and I feel you really make that bond just really great. Yeah. Lastly, Lich, how important is budget for you, and what species and setups to get?
Well, going back to the point you made right at the start of the question about Care Bearer, and it was also brought up in the care guide about them, saying they're not kid friendly. The funny thing is that at AntCon, me, along with some other friends, are actually planning to try and keep Diversa. It's kind of a little fun challenge to see who can raise them the best. And the reason we're doing it at AntCon is obviously because there's going to be lots of sales, so all the nests and outworlds and everything are going to be on sale, so we're going to be able to kind of buy more. But in general, all of the nests that I own, like my Wakushi pod for my acros, I have a Weaver Outworld for my dives, I've got some small S2 queen modules. So overall, I do have a few setups, which are Wakushi products that I've bought with either my own money or got for Christmas. But all of the other setups are DIY, like my Neo Panera, which are in a stick insect outworld, and other ones are literally just in plastic tubs because they seem to work quite well. But sometimes I do have an escape or two just because of maybe the fluon barrier failing or because it's just a small species. Overall, my setups are kind of mixed in terms of DIY to kind of shop-bought nests.
And why do you use DIY compared to buying products?
Well, although I have some pricey species, my dad doesn't really like buying setups. As in, every time I get a new species, he always hits me with the same question, but you're going to have to buy something for them to go in. So I usually go with DIY. Just because I'll just find a tub lying around, throw a test tube in there with a bit of substrate and some decoration that'll fit the species, and I've got a setup right there, and I've got an extra long heat cable as well, which I'm able to use across multiple setups. So if I get any more, I don't have to buy more heating. So, yeah.
All right. And of course, with your dad having to know a little bit about the setups, does he set any limits on what species to get? You're talking about getting Kerbera, where they, of course, have the option to grow very fast if fed and managed correctly. Do your parents set any limits on what to get and not to get?
Well, I mean, there's obviously some which are like, if the ants are really dangerous, or like, if they grow way too out of hand. But I say that whilst having leaf cutters and a colony of Neil Panera, which set me back quite a lot of money. But although he has said, I don't think you need any more colonies, I always do end up getting more colonies. And I am planning to get some at AntCon. But overall, I don't really have any limits. Like, I've got thingy ants, I've got ants that grow relatively big. But no, I don't really have any limits. As long as I'm able to kind of keep them secure, as long as I'm able to kind of provide for them in the correct way, my parents don't see any issues.
Lovely. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, now we're going into a little bit of the more regular questions toward just normal ant keepers to just hear a little bit about everything. So, starting with you, Cameron, what got you into ant keeping and what was your first colony?
So, I can't quite remember what got me into ant keeping. I don't think it was Ants Canada. I think it might have been Ants Australia. But it was definitely an ant video on YouTube. And then I just sort of found big nuptial flights outside and caught queens and went on from there. And yeah, so my first species was Lacius niger. But I can say sadly the colony isn't alive today. They went through a lot. But my second colony is.
I think adding to that, what would you say is the biggest thing you have learned since you started keeping ants?
Test tubes. They may not be the prettiest of nests, but they work well in most cases.
So use more test tubes, is that your advice?
Well, don't be afraid, and don't... Yeah, use more test tubes, but don't feel like you have to move ants into a nest. They can do fine with test tubes, just as some products on the market have used the test tube system very well.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that I've with the V. We don't need to just keep the names out. People like at least Wakushi have made the Venus and the Saturn, which is both based on test tubes, which is two products I personally love. They're not too good for recording them, but for the keeping the ants happy and safe inside, they are two perfect products for the guys who don't really know what to upgrade for when they have one test tube that is filling out. Lich, what got you into ant keeping, and what was your first colony?
Well, in terms of starting ant keeping, it started like I'd say how anyone else kind of found ant keeping. Just scrolling on YouTube, and what do you know? Ants Canada comes up. Start watching some of his videos. But obviously, after watching his videos for quite a while, I decided that I too wanted to start raising ants and keep a colony for myself. So I went on YouTube and searched up how to start ant keeping. And the first video that popped up was actually by Ants Australia, or now goes by Jordan Dean. And watch his videos on how to catch a queen, how to raise an ant colony, and went out one day and on a nuptial flight for Lacius niger, I believe. And one of the four queens I caught is actually still alive today, although she has been through quite a lot. But yeah, so from Ants Canada to Jordan Dean, and Lacius niger is my first species.
Right, so how is that queen, how big is the colony that survived all those years?
Well, I mean, it's definitely not as big as I want it to be, and not as big as it should be. But as a young keeper, I had four Niger queens, and only one of which is alive today. and then kind of made all of the big mistakes, really, like feeding the queen when she doesn't need to be fed, checking on her too often, moving them into a nest when they're not supposed to. But eventually, my impatient self kind of started to understand that ant keeping was there's more to ant keeping than just checking on the ants all the time and making sure you're always looking at them. So now I'd say my colony is over 100 workers. It's definitely better than they used to be, because they used to just lose all of their workers over hibernation, which wasn't very good. But last summer they popped off really well, and they seem to be doing well this hibernation. So I'm hopeful next summer that they'll start really kicking off and kind of growing into a bigger colony.
All right. So you said a little bit about patience with the colony. Is that what you've learned, or what would you say is the biggest thing you've learned since you started?
Definitely checking on the colonies too much. Because I was very... Because obviously when you get into ant keeping, you always want to make sure the queen's okay. You always want to look at her because it's like, wow, she's so beautiful within the colony. You just always want to have a look at them. But obviously that is a major or a key factor in stressing the colony. And now that I have certain species like my Neopanera, which can be quite sensitive to being checked up on too often, like even just leaning over and kind of your shadow coming over the colony, like the change in lighting can be quite frightening. So I've definitely learned kind of not to check on them too often.
All right. Lastly, we have Oscar, of course. What got you into ant keeping, and what was your first ant colony?
Okay, so as I said earlier, I believe, Ants Canada is what got me into ant keeping. And from there, I went on to Ants Australia, which I think is Ants Australia, something like that, or Oz Ants or whatever. But he taught me the proper basics of ant keeping, much less than Ants Canada's fire nation and fire ant colonies and things. But and from there, unlike most people who catch their first Niger queens, I decided to buy my first Niger queen since it was the middle of winter. So they weren't in hibernation or anything. And of course, they're not alive anymore. I went through about 5 Niger colonies before I finally got one decently going. But if I had to say one thing like that I've learned along the way is, yeah, you have to be patient. Don't move them into a nest too fast. That's a mistake I've made multiple times. Don't feed them too early. Nothing like that. Just be patient. Don't check too much. Don't move into a nest. And yeah.
All right. I think it's very funny actually hearing the story of how you guys joined ant keeping. Because similar to Oscar, my story is pretty much identical. Stumbled onto Ants Canada, saw Jordan Dean / back then Ants Australia, bought my first Niger colony, and did not see the colony survive. Actually, the colony survived until I let it go. So that's a whole other story. But yeah, it's very interesting how, I guess that's because we've all kind of joined the same time period, back when Ants Canada got the really viral video, which is quite funny because you are all similar age, but I'm a lot older, which is just fascinating. But we are coming towards the end of the podcast, but we have one final question for all of you, starting with you, Lich. What is your favorite ant colony or dream species if you don't keep that colony? No. What is your favorite colony you keep, and what is your dream species?
Well, I've gone through a lot of favorite species, starting with my dives, which I love because they just look so beautiful. They were so active. I've got them in a nice Wakushi weaver ant world where they weave their own nest. They're always so active. I love the colors. Until my acros came along, my Acromimic octospinosis. And obviously, I couldn't get enough of the leaf cutters. just the leaf carrying, the fungus growing. And they're also, I think, my biggest ants at the time as well. So they were my favourites until only about a week ago, where I got myself a new colony of Neopanera apicalis, which are now my biggest ants by a long shot. They're aggressive, they're active, they have a very big sting, and I just fell in love with them. So in terms of my favourite species I own, it's definitely them. But for a species, as in my dream species, for me, it would be Gigantiops destructor, just because I find them really fascinating, like the fact that they can jump, they have massive eyes and rely a lot on their vision, they're always really active, it's just something about the way they look, the way they act. I just really love them, hope to keep a colony of them at some point.
All right. What about you, Asuka? What is your current favorite ant species? And what would be your dream species?
All right, so...
What if the species you keep is your favorite, and what is your dream?
All right, at the moment, my favorite species I keep is by far my Atta. I didn't get them too long ago, but they're definitely my favorite. Sure, I'm watching them cut leaves, carry it back. The fungus has probably tripled in size since I got them. They're just insane. I would have to recommend getting leaf cutters, honestly. And a dream species is Carabera diversa, just because of how polymorphic they are, and the big queens, giant super majors, they swarm. It's just the perfect ant, in my opinion. As Lidge mentioned earlier, we plan to get them at AntCon. In a few months. So, yeah.
Lovely. And finally, we have you, Cameron. With 40 different species, it may be a little bit harder for you to pick a favorite, but within what you're keeping, what would you say is your favorite, and do you have any dream species?
Well, I would say quite a lot of people will see this as quite a boring response, but I would say my favorite species is Lacy's flappus. Just because they're pretty cool. I mean, to have such a colourful species in the UK and in Europe that's not that commonly kept in larger colonies, I think is quite fun. And I think also the sort of like traits that no one really knows for sure, so like their dimorphism, their pleomatrosis and polygyny, no one really knows for sure what's that. No one really knows for sure what region they are. Also the colour combinations that they can have, so like they can be from like a darker orange or maybe a brown to quite a light yellow. I would say that would make them my current favourite species that I keep. And then dream species, that's a difficult one. I would say probably, even though I don't want to keep them at the moment, I'm going to have to say leaf cutter, so maybe an Atta species. Just because of how big their colonies can be, you see them David Attenborough documentaries, just how impressive each individual colony can be with millions of workers and like their own mini cities in a way. And just the leaf collecting behaviour. And it would just be quite a nice display piece in the future, I think.
I can't lie, they are definitely a very beautiful species. But we have reached the end of the topic of being of debating about young ant keepers. But of course, we have this week's ant news. Now, while you three think of your guys' ant news, I have a little bit. So within the hobby, Light Camera Ants last week. So last week we talked with Lights Camera Ants, who's a YouTuber who had a video that had 60,000 views, I think. That video have now skyrocketed to 150,000 views, which is completely crazy. It's not a short, it's a real video. And as a content creator, I just think it's crazy that he's done that, especially because the video is not anything bad. It's just an ant video, and I feel like it's we don't really have anything to compete with Ants Canada. Jordan Dean have stopped, or he's doing shorts at the moment, but he's stopped with his main videos. Of course, we also have Ants Norway, who have some videos that goes really viral as well. But I just feel like it's very nice, and I feel it's a good shout out to Lights Camera Ants for actually making it and getting 150,000 views. Do you guys have any ant news, starting with you, Cameron?
Well, I think a certain two interviewees on this podcast have released two excellent videos, and I think they might deserve a watch. And also, of course, to a more recent time, Ant Holofer's new video on his Tetramorium Bicarbonatum.
Oh, pulling the member card. for all of the other guys. Released the video last week, so go give it a watch if you haven't. Lich, do you have any ant news?
Well, like, it has come up a few times in this podcast, but obviously myself and Auntie are hosting the Care Bearer Challenge at AntCon. For anyone who wants to join, it's just a nice, fun little challenge. Obviously, you don't have to join. It's not a requirement. But if you do, you can just kind of message me or Auntie. And we've got like our own little group chat and everything. But like Insight said, I myself have released a video on my new colony of Neopanera. And I believe Auntie has released his own video as well.
Yes, about my atter.
Lovely. I must ask to you, Lich. Have you talked with Rich about this challenge?
Yes. In fact, I was actually down at Ant Antics a couple of weeks ago to have a go at their escape rooms. And whilst I was there, he was kind enough to show me all the colonies, including his very, very nice colony of Care Bearer Diversa. And I asked him about the challenge. And I believe he said he's, in fact, trying to reserve some colonies for AntCon. So that's very nice of him. So hopefully, if all goes to plan, there will be colonies available for AntCon, and the challenge will be able to go forward.
All right, let's hope that he remembers. I think it's good to send him some messages so he remembers. It would be a shame if the challenge falls down, because there wasn't any species home. But I want to say that this has been a debate about young antkeepers. Thank you all for joining. Just to go over Ants Insight, for those interested in talking with you, Cameron, where can they find you?
So they can find me on Discord. I mean, most servers that are more UK and EU based, and on Instagram, where am I? It's Insight.
Perfect. And what about you, Auntie, also known as Oscar?
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and all over Discord, pretty much. Auntie Enclosures on Instagram and TikTok and things.
And what about YouTube? Also Auntie Enclosures on YouTube?
Yes.
Lovely. And what about you, Lich? Where can people find you if they want to talk with you?
Well, like the other two, I'm on most of the main kind of UK-based European servers. I'm on obviously the Antantic server, some of the other servers, and I am on Instagram as well. I go by my Discord username, which is HateLich, and I am also on YouTube. At Elijah's Ants.
Lovely. And once more, I want to say thank you all for joining. I think it's definitely, again, if you want to hear some more with young antkeepers, we did also do episode 7 with two other guests where we also talked about this exact topic. So if you are out there wanting more information or more curious, you can rehear or hear episode 7. But I want to say thank you for listening in. The AntPod releases new episodes every Wednesday, and Care Guides once every few weeks. If there's a topic you want to hear us talk about, send a message to the AntPod Instagram. And with that, you will hear more from us at the EndPod next week.